This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 199, recorded Monday, May 12th, 2014, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Hello, Guru. Hello, Jerry. This is Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. I want to congratulate you on your 200th episode. You guys have done fantastic work, and I always await the next episode of Android Buffet. You guys have done it 200 times. I look forward to 200 more.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. Do you know how long it's been since we've had a guest recording?
It's been a while since we've heard from Door.
Well, that's the thing. He was nice that's enough to send us that recording because apparently he does a podcast on Monday. And on Tuesday. And on Wednesday. Thursday. I think it may be hard to find a day that he is not doing a podcast. So, We couldn't get him to send his congratulations live, but he was nice enough to send that recording.
Nice.
I thought so. You remember when he used to call in all the time on our 2012 Wenica line? When he was driving, I forget what else he was doing when he was doing that. Just whenever he had a random thought, we would hear from him.
Yep.
I thought that was the appropriate bit of nostalgia, the good old days. Anyway, it's been an exciting week. You know, I did something this week that I thought I would never do.
What's that?
I got a little annoyed with that C710 Chromebook I have.
Yes.
So I upgraded it using a piece of tinfoil.
What?
Tinfoil, you know, from the kitchen.
How do you do that?
Well, very interestingly, since the last time I'd looked into it when I bought the thing, apparently somebody came out with a alternate BIOS you can flash that would allow you to install a more conventional operating system. And in order to do it, you have to short, there's a write protect jumper on the main board. So in order for you to write a new BIOS to a Chromebook, you have to short the write protect jumper, or at least on the C710. The newer versions actually have a BIOS that could load a more conventional operating system if you press Control L. And if you wanted to remove that and write the BIOS, you just have to remove the write protect screw. But apparently on the C710, there was no screw, it was a jumper, so I had to short it with a piece of foil.
The write protect screw.
It's like the write protect jumper.
But it's a screw.
You take the screw out and suddenly you can write protect. Or suddenly you're no longer write protected.
Okay, sure, why not?
It completes the circuit. So on one, you have to complete the circuit to write. On the other one, you have to not complete the circuit to write.
Okay.
You sound a little surprised by this.
I find it interesting. It's an interesting design choice.
Well, I actually like Chrome OS. Unfortunately, there were a few things I wasn't able to do with it. For example, I was planning on going to visit my family in Florida in a few weeks, and I'm scheduled to record a podcast down there with some guy. Maybe you know him. He lives in Jacksonville.
No, who?
His name is Jerry Jones.
Oh. And you're going to do... what? You're coming down to Jacksonville?
No, I'm coming down to Florida.
And we're going
to
record a podcast, like, live in the same room?
You want me to
come to Jacksonville? For the second time ever?
I was going to go to South Florida and cheer up my grandparents. You know, my grandfather, for example, is 98 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen him since December. So I would like to go and see him, and I will put a smile on his face. I've, of course, spoken to him on the phone. I'm going to see him, and I'm going to see my grandmother and my parents, who are keeping an eye on them. And I've been given a designated space, which they have allocated to me for the purpose of dwelling for a few days. So I will be recording the podcast. But in the past, I've brought down my old MSI Wind U100 notebook. Well, actually, netbook, yes. Which is a 10-inch. And, you know, that thing doesn't quite have the power that I'd like it to, which is why I don't use it very much. But I figured this time I could bring down the Chromebook, but the Chromebook does not run Skype. I suppose we could have done a Hangout. But what I decided to do was wipe the thing, and now it can run Skype.
And what did you install on it?
Fedora. What else would I install?
I don't know, like a real operating system, like, say, Windows?
Windows on a Chromebook? That can't be done. Haven't you seen those porn star commercials?
The what?
The Scroogled commercials with the porn stars.
No.
No. It's a Chromebook. It's a secret plot by Google to enslave you. And it doesn't do anything because it doesn't have Microsoft Office. Anyway, you could find that on YouTube.
Sure.
Oh, no, that's a Google property. Oh, no, they're everywhere. No.
Anyway, they are. Well, it's true.
Well, I was having a fight with the door-to-door geek about this. Not a fight in a conventional sense. We were having a spirited dialogue on the subject of multiple Google accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that while Google may not come up with a solution to the fact that I have multiple accounts, and many other people do, that many people have a work and a personal account, they do have to solve the problem that every account expects to have a independent Google Plus profile. I think the solution that they're going to come up with is that they're going to make it so that one Google Plus profile can be linked to more than one Gmail account. So you can say, I don't need five different Google Plus accounts. I need one of those. I just want different email addresses.
See, I kind of figured it would go the other way, where one Gmail account could have multiple Google Plus accounts.
I don't think Google would do it, though.
I don't either, but I would see more need for that.
Why? People have email for the purposes of segregating different parts of their lives. But you're yes. But the question is, once you've accepted they're all your identity, you want an identical Google profile. Maybe you want different versions of the profile to come up, whether you're on one service or the other. See, this is the interesting conversation that happened during the F8 conference with Facebook, where they came up with the idea of anonymous login. I'm not sure if you followed that.
Makes sense. I mean, I don't find anonymous login.
Anonymous? No, I'm saying, did you follow the reports from that conference? You know what Facebook's anonymous login actually is the question.
No, I don't.
Okay, they came up with the idea that you could have an app that runs on the Facebook software, where you could tell the app, authenticate me to Facebook, but don't tell the app who you are. So you could upgrade your anonymous access to the app to full access, where the app would know who you are. But essentially, you could tell the app that it can confirm your identity through Facebook, but not actually know what your identity is. So it's log in with Facebook without actually telling the app who you are.
Okay.
So
I'm not sure why an app would offer that.
Well, basically, I believe the idea is to address a lot of the privacy issues that people have with Facebook.
Sure, I don't think
Facebook cares whether or not. If you
don't get anything from Facebook, why use a Facebook login?
Seamless. People don't like to have other logins. From the perspective of the user, why should you have 50 million logins when you could authenticate with an existing login? The idea is you're authenticating with that login, but you're not telling the service who you are yet on Facebook.
Okay.
But I had a point, which I'm going to circle back to. So the idea that comes out of that is that people didn't mind telling Facebook who they were or having Facebook know who they were on other services, at least in this theory. But they did mind if those other random services that they did not yet trust, as much as in this scenario they trusted Facebook, knew that information yet and were able to share it with other people. So why can't I say I trust Google to know that A identity and B identity are in fact the same person? But I'm trusting that people who access that identity through different means will get the presentation that I want them to. Again, theoretically. I don't know how that
works. Whereas the website itself doesn't actually care who you are. It just wants a login so that it can provide you with, you know, your stuff.
But let's say for the sake of argument, I have five logins.
Yeah.
If the goal of Google is to find out about me and use that information to sell me to advertisers, me having multiple logins means that they have a disconnected view of me. So if I'm willing to say me A and me B, so the two different Google account versions of me are in fact the same person, then there's a benefit to Google in that they learn more about me theoretically.
But well, you can already do that with Gmail accounts. You can link Gmail accounts together and say, yo, I'm the same person. I have several Gmail accounts that are all linked together.
Are they linked together or are you just logged into them simultaneously?
It said add a Gmail account.
Yeah, but that's you. That's simultaneous login. That doesn't say out. Yeah. Where you can pull down the menu and switch to a different account. Basically, yes. that's just the system being able to have you logged into multiple accounts at the same time. So I'm
right, but that's a pretty clear signal to Google.
Jerry, did I lose you? Jerry, where are you? Hello? I don't hear you.
How about now?
Now I hear you. Did you hit your mute button?
No, I didn't, but the call quality on my Skype went red. Although, interestingly, I could hear you fine and dandy and clear.
Last week on Tuesday, my entire internet went out, and it was out till Friday. The people at Time Warner Cable, you know, those people who will be merging with your cable company soon?
Yes.
Put another trap on my line. So now I've decided that from now on, whenever my internet goes down, the standard operating procedure will be to go to my backyard, where the tap for the neighborhood just by coincidence happens to be, shine a flashlight up in the middle of the night or during the day, climb up, one or the other, and see whether or not they have installed a small device which prevents upstream bandwidth from going upstream. They did this last year and they did it again this year.
Okay.
I'm
angry. And you can see it?
It's like a, have you ever seen a filter? It's like a little, it has a coaxial cable on each end and it's like a little cylinder.
Yes.
That's what a trap looks like. It blocks signals going in one direction.
Yeah, the cable company here uses them, you know, back in the day when, oh, you're not paying for HBO, so we've got to filter that out.
Yeah, what they do this for is when they want to convince somebody to call the cable company. So instead of calling and saying, we think there might be some problem with your line, their philosophy is, what we'll do is we'll shut down your service. You'll call us and complain it's down, and then we'll schedule an appointment to fix it. Even though it wasn't actually
$30?
Oh, no, they don't charge for repair appointments. They only charge for voluntary expansions. Does Comcast charge for coming out to fix something that broke?
They've never charged me.
No, most cable companies, in my experience, will charge you if you want to add service. So if you're coming out to, let's say, swap out a cable box, upgrade to a DVR, add a new outlet, that's a service call. They'll charge you for that. If it's fix the service that I'm paying for, that's free.
Oh.
Now, if you ask the person who's fixing the service you're paying for to also add an outlet, he's going to charge you.
Why would I ask this? I would never ask the cable company to add an outlet.
Well, if you do it, then they claim that it's your fault. They have a note on their account marked user installation. And while I personally think I'm fully capable of installing things, they have I don't want them to use it as an excuse to provide bad service.
Oh. Did I tell you about my recent Comcast experience?
Yeah, you were telling me that they upgraded you to a higher tier when you called them, and they wouldn't have done so had you not called them.
Yeah, that is actually they upgraded me to a lower tier, but yeah. Okay.
Higher speed, lower tier.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm waiting for that. Time Warner Cable Max is supposed to be coming to the area. What was the speed? I have it. Time Warner Cable Max, I'm just looking for the press release. Is there a new thing that may or may not happen depending on whether or not Comcast buys them?
Yeah.
Right now I'm at 30/5, so 30 down, 5 up. At the same level, they're upgrading people who are at that level up to 220. So 200 down, 20 up. And with a maximum of 300 down, 20 up. But then I need another modem. I need a DOCSIS 3.1, and I only have a DOCSIS. Well, actually, no, I have a DOCSIS 3.1. I have a maximum of 8 bonded channels. I'd need 16. And I thought 8 was overkill. Oh, well.
Yes.
But we were talking about the issue with the email accounts that I was arguing with, debating in a spirited manner with Dor. And basically, why can't you segregate everything and say, Google, you get to know who I am, and you're... just to recap and bring back to where I think we were before we both got sidetracked, was you were about to say, from what I was gathering before you cut off, that because you've logged into all those accounts from the same computer, they know they're connected or something.
Yes, and I routinely switch between them.
Yes, but they don't know that they're all your identity. For example, let's say you have an account, Jerry at, what was it, Dragon Global was the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But so that's your account indicating your identity. But what if you also manage an account info at dragonglobal.biz, which is a support line?
Okay.
You want your identity is tied to one email address. The other email address is a shared identity.
Right. But I don't think that is as assumable when you're talking about Google Apps accounts, which are normally business related. Well, I'm talking about normal at gmail.com accounts.
I have a Google Docs account, and I don't have a business. Well, unless you call this a business.
I think they would.
I'm not paying them. I'm still grandfathered in when they were giving things out for free.
Okay.
I don't know what would happen if they stopped supporting free Google Apps accounts.
They're trying to.
Well, no, I'm talking about for people who already had them. If they came to me one day and said, give me $5 a month or we're cutting you off. When I started, I wasn't, and moved my email addresses over, I wasn't really embedded in the Google ecosystem with those accounts, but now I sort of am. We'll see if it ever happens. Why worry about it today?
That's right. Why worry?
That's what I'm saying. It hasn't happened yet. Why should, you know, I'm prepared for that eventuality. Should it happen, I'll figure out what to do.
Yep.
They're not going to say, tomorrow we're making you pay. They're going to say, in 6 months we're making you pay, or next month we're making you pay. So, why rush? Speaking of paying, Jerry, did you hear that the bill and account management service Manila is shutting down on July 1st?
Have we talked about Manila before? Because I was looking this up, and it seems like a really cool thing, except it was completely unfamiliar to me.
Well, I mentioned the app a long time ago. I brought it up because when I was playing with the app for the purpose of this program, you know, I try out apps of various services. I happened to try that particular... I happened to try that particular app, and I had logged in for the service. So over the course of the weekend, they sent me this email saying they were shutting down. So you know what I did?
You went to Mint?
Mint doesn't do this.
Simple? What did you do?
Well, remember, this is account and bill management. You're thinking Mint is financial management. It's budgeting.
Right.
So this is keep track of your bills, not actually keep track of what you're paying for things. So this is the actual paperwork level.
This is the actually pay the bills, not just watch where the money goes.
Well, this, it will facilitate you in paying the bills because there'll be one interface where you can see all the bills. But this works at the bill level, whereas something like Mint would be watching your financial accounts and telling you there's a bill due. But it wouldn't actually assist you in paying it, and it wouldn't show you the bill.
Which is why I say Manila looked very interesting, as in usable.
Yeah, well, I found a new service.
You did. What is this new service?
Regrettably, they do not have an Android app, but I found a new service that actually I like. And because of the way that it works, it is usable on Android, even though they don't have an app. I found FileThis.com. So basically, it is a web-based service where they will take your documents from these various services. So they'll download your Comcast bill in a PDF format, and they will put it into the storage service of your choice. So they give you a choice of which storage service you want. You can store it in your account on their service, but you can also have the documents put into an app directory on Dropbox. You can have it put into your Google Drive account, into your Box account.
Okay, I'm not quite sure I see how this is the same thing.
Well, again, for me, what I was using Manila for was one place to get all of the documents reflecting my statements.
Oh, okay. So you weren't actually using it to pay your bills?
No. I was using it to get my bills. My bills are paid automatically. I've automated the whole system. So the bill is loaded into my checking account using the bill pay service provided by the bank, and the bank will automatically has the amount and will send that amount of money, unless I stop it, automatically to whatever company I owe money. And the reason why I say unless I stop it, because if the bill is wrong, I would want to know about it, which is why I want to have copies of the bill. So what this does is, especially for tax purposes, I get paid through a payroll company. So my company doesn't have their own payroll. They pay me through, third-party payroll. You've probably heard of it, ADP, a lot of companies use them.
Nope.
Never heard of them? Okay. ADP is a very popular payroll company. So File This, unlike Manila, actually can pull the PDFs out of the ADP payroll system and put them into my Dropbox. So instead of me having to go and log into a payroll company, I can just go into my Dropbox, which is synced to my computer and whatever other computer I have, and to the Dropbox app on Android, and I can go and look at my last pay statement. So I know that in 2011, I'm just opening up the oldest one I have here because that's when we started getting paid using ADP. I think we used a different company before then. I know that in July of 2011, well, look at that. I worked 84 hours. In the period from 7:17 to 7:30. And I know how much I was paid for that, and I know how much I contributed to a 401k, which is...
Wow.
Well, no, I have every single pay statement, and I have it in my Dropbox, so I don't have to rely on... Well, actually, I am relying on a third-party website, but since it's synced to every hard drive that has Dropbox included, I have backup copies everywhere. So does
okay.
That, yeah, so that is why I've been enjoying it. So I gave them $2.
So you're doing the not free, but not overly expensive plan.
Well, there was an alternative. They actually made an offer to me where I could not pay. I could get more. Each service you connect to is referred to as a connection. They give you six for free?
Yes.
And what they offer after that point is I can get more connections if I invite a friend.
Oh.
So they'll allow me to get, but I said I don't necessarily, if I happen to get more connections by inviting a friend, I certainly would. And I can earn up to 40 free connections and up to 20 gigabytes of free space by inviting a friend. Did I lose Jer?
No.
Oh, I heard a noise. Must be one of those strange Skype noises. But I figured, you know, companies survive, especially since Manila didn't survive and I didn't give them a cent. If I can't give a company $20 a year, it's $2 a month or 20 a year, to make sure that they're still here next year, then aren't I being too cheap? I'm a fan of free service. But you know, on the other hand, if their business...
Free service has got to make some money.
Well, yeah, and you know, usually freemium service, which is what this is, make money on the power users, and the power users support the non-power users. So I said, fine, I wanted 12 instead of 6 things, and if I want more than 12, because I don't think I'm going to go to I think it's the ultimate plan, then I'll start making friends. Jerry, do you want me to invite you to this?
No.
Okay, I'll find somebody to invite. And maybe I'll get a few more, but right now I've pretty much, you know, all the bills that I want to have in there, I have in there. So we'll see. Let's change the subject. A web hosting company has placed the FCC in the slow lane in order to protest net neutrality, or rather to protest their fast lane killing of net neutrality. So
yeah.
I thought it was, admittedly, it doesn't do anything. I just thought it was an interesting approach to say, we've written some code, we're going to isolate the FCC. Anybody who wants the code can download it and put it on their service. And anybody who is at the FCC who wants to use these sites will be basically metered the same way that they're implying the rules should work. So it's more of a statement than anything actually effectual.
Yeah. I mean, good on them for the statement.
Let's say that you did this your website. Let's say that, you know, maybe there may have been somebody there hoping that once they released the source code and the range of IP addresses, that other people would do the same thing. But it doesn't appear to have gained traction.
Sorry.
Apparently, NSA spying is causing Americans to self-censor their internet activity. Have you changed your behavior since the NSA revelations, Jerry?
Yeah, not so much, no.
Okay. Do you live in open or do you live in private?
I would say private.
Okay.
Would you not say private? I would say private.
I don't know. It depends on the day. Sometimes you seem more open than other days.
Well, I'm open to, you know, this is who I am, but that doesn't mean that I share everything I do.
Okay. I consider myself, while I am not a person who goes around and saying everything, I've considered myself, if somebody asks me a question, I don't have any reason to not tell them the answer unless it's a really personal question. So I feel I'm as open as I should be. There are other people who are more open than I am.
Yep.
But if you asked me a question, Jerry, do you feel you would get a reasonably open answer?
Sure.
Okay. You think you'd remember it?
Probably not.
Okay. Then I can be fully open with you, Jerry, because I don't have to worry.
Nope. That's right.
Because you're not the NSA.
I'm not.
Good. At least I hope not. I don't know, you know, the name of this company you work for, so I'm not asking, but I'm just saying I didn't know your previous employer. I don't know your current employer. So I could say, for all I know, you are a clandestine intelligence analyst for the NSA. I don't think you are, but for all I know, you could be.
I could be.
Okay, good to know. Jerry
for Jones. For not.
Yeah. But wouldn't a clandestine agent say he wasn't? So isn't your denial not necessarily a denial?
I don't know. That would imply that if I did not deny it, then I would be...
isn't that how the Salem witch trials worked?
I don't know.
No, if you said you were a witch, they killed you for being a witch. If you said you weren't a witch, you were lying, so they had to test it. And the way they tested it was attempting to kill you. If you died, you weren't a witch. If you lived, you must be a witch, and therefore they killed you.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not a witch either, right?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, okay.
Because if I do, then I am.
And if you don't, you might be.
Right.
Okay, as long as that works. See, this is the problem with some systems. It's also the problem that happens in other systems. It's not just witches. There are many systems where people believe if you say you are not a part of said system, you must be, because anybody who was a part of that system would not tell you. However, if you legitimately aren't, problem. Anyway, Google debuted Classroom, which unifies Docs, Drive, and Gmail to help teachers create and collect assignments. This is a beta product. I wish I had this when I was in school. Do you know how I got my assignments and how I delivered my assignments when I was in school?
No.
Paper?
Yep.
I wish I didn't have to use paper. You know, that's where I learned about how when you're doing any form of thing that you want to impress other people with, you should use 24-pound paper because people are not as impressed by 20-pound paper. Who says you don't learn anything in school?
What? Say that again.
If you are printing something and you want to impress somebody, should it be in an educational or in a professional environment, you should always use 24-pound paper. You should never use 20-pound paper. It looks cheap.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Okay. So I always use 24-pound paper.
I'm kind of expecting the
what?
The school that my daughter goes to,
yeah,
to take advantage of this. They tend to be fairly technologically progressive.
Yeah, and bear in mind that the current software that's very popular for use in schools, you know, the equivalent of this, which is Blackboard, is a rather annoying piece of software that most educators hate. And apparently the pricing on it isn't so favorable either. But many
really?
many schools are using Google Apps for Education as their email, docs, and everything else system. Because the pricing isn't bad. Admittedly, it's per user, but still. It's at least a defined budget item.
The our teachers have a, what do you call it? One of those like electronic Blackboard things.
Oh, yeah.
And according to my daughter's teacher, she likes it. Yeah.
No, no, not you're thinking of a smart board. Blackboard is actually a piece of software.
Oh,
smart board. Smart boards are a gimmick. There are many good things you can do with one of those smart boards.
Mm-hmm.
But there were whole groups of people who would say we have to put a smart board in every classroom because you know the kids will love you know they'll put on the smart board and what does the teacher use the smart board for? They use it like a blackboard. So what you did was you spent a lot of money to replace your blackboard with a smart board and you're using it like a blackboard.
Well, it's a blackboard that plays videos.
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is, if you can take advantage of the technology, you certainly should use it. But if you're not taking advantage of the technology, schools are so underfunded that you might as well make smart decisions and say, okay, we're going to outfit one room with the smart board. If any class has a reason to use a smart board, they'll go use that classroom. You know, we'll put it in one of the rooms. And then everybody else, you know, instead of getting a smart board, we'll take the money we would have used to get that smart board and we'll buy things like textbooks or supplies for children. Or maybe we'll hire another teacher.
Oh, okay.
I feel very strongly about education. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned that. I may have. I don't recall. Have I ever mentioned that I feel very strongly about education?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. You do know I have a teaching license, right? I don't know if I've mentioned that either. I've never used it professionally, but I do have a teaching license.
Okay.
And both of my parents, before they retired, were teachers. So I come from a very teaching-oriented family. I feel very strongly on the issue. But since this is an Android podcast, we're not going to talk about my feelings on No Child Left Behind or education funding or anything of that nature.
Okay.
Okay. Google Play Services was updated to version 4.4. They have an addition to the Maps API, which now has Street View support. So your app can have Street View.
That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what people do with that. There, once you realize that Google has a lot of data in Maps, I look forward to seeing what third-party developers getting access to that data or integrating with it can do. I have an app on my phone, just for example, called Transit. Have I ever mentioned it? I think I mentioned it as an app on the show, but I don't know if I talked about it much. So Transit, as the name suggests, is a transit app. So
right, like where the subways are app.
I don't live near the subway. I live near the bus.
Okay.
So yes, if I was near a subway, yes, it would tell me. So right now, it knows that I'm in the New York City area, so it's loaded up the local subway, train, ferry, bus, etc. maps for this area. So it bear in mind it does have other areas. Let's see. Does Jacksonville have a public transportation system?
Yes, we have buses.
Okay. You are not in transit.
Yeah, no, our buses don't have any type of like schedule.
Okay, but they do have smaller cities, which is why I figured I'd check. You know, they have Austin, Baltimore, Banff, Buffalo, Calgary. Since I can keep going, but you get the point. They have cities of various sizes. I'm assuming they have any city for which they can get official schedule data.
Right.
So New York City sends out official schedule data, and then I think it was a year or two ago, they put out an API for their public data for live bus locations.
Yeah.
And invited third-party developers for some usage. So I know that right now, and bear in mind it's 10:38 at night, that there will be a bus arriving about 15 minutes walk from here, probably about 3 minutes drive, in about 7 minutes, and that bus would take me to the Main Street station of the subway, which is one of the nearest subway stops. It's about half an hour away. There's another bus in 12 minutes, which it will be coming only two blocks away. And there's another bus going in a different direction to take me to a completely different part of Queens where there's a different subway in 17 minutes. Also, there's the last express bus of the night will leave from a couple blocks from here to Midtown Manhattan 31 minutes from now. So imagine, let's say that I do this. Imagine if I could press a button on here and it would show me the street view, because it will already open up Google Maps and show me how to get to the bus stop.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if it would give me a street view so I could see what the bus stop looked like.
See, me, being a driver, I imagined, like, turn-by-turn instructions where there's, like, an overlay. You're going to see this, and you should turn down that road.
Somebody might try it, but remember, navigation is something that, you know, Google probably will keep in-house. I'm not sure. The Maps API, I'm not sure if people theoretically could create a better version of Google Navigation using Google Navigation as the API. But I'm not sure if that's something that they could do. I'd have to look at the API. I don't know if they can get down to that level or if they decide to get down to that level. But there are a few other interesting API functions. For example, the Location API now has activity recognition. So it can detect whether or not you're in a vehicle, you're biking, you're on foot, you're still, you're running, or you're walking.
And this will update your Google Now cards?
One would assume. Well, again, remember, internally, Google will use the APIs to fuel their apps. But remember, the APIs are also for third-party apps. So can you imagine an app that could tell whether or not you were running? Think of Tasker for a moment. Let's say Tasker.
And when you stop running, it says, move your butt.
Well, no, I'll use Tasker, which I know you're familiar with.
Yes.
If, let's say, Tasker creates something hooked into this API and can now tell what state you are basically at, you could have all sorts of profiles and such based on the state you're currently in. So if you're running, put the phone into running mode. If you're walking, walking mode, whatever you decide walking mode is, and whatever enabled, disabled. Let's say I start running, and, let's use a podcast example. I decide that when I'm running, I want the podcast to start. And when I stop running, I want the podcast to suddenly stop. So, or music for that example. So I want my music or my podcast to only play as long as I'm running. If I stop, it automatically stops with me. I should email the people at Pocket Casts and Dogcatcher about that. That would be an interesting idea. I wonder if I can get credit.
Probably.
You think anybody other than me thinks that's a good idea, though?
We'll go with, I don't know.
Well, no, if you're looking for motivation, as long as you keep going, whatever you are doing will keep happening. Once you stop going, it won't.
Sure.
And, you know, think of the safety. Let's say that I'm running and I cross the street. I'm stopped at a light. As long as I'm stopped at the light, the music will stop. So I can keep my full attention on what's going on. And once I am once again moving, it will start again. Admittedly, the street problem is probably, you know, but you get the idea.
Yes.
Okay. Well, worth thinking about. I'm an idea person. I don't worry about implementation. That's somebody else's problem. Well, I've been worrying about implementation. You've heard me talk about how I've been working on some projects. And it's interesting to be on the implementation side of things, because I'm so obsessive compulsive about things that I wonder, and I was telling you about this a few weeks ago, should this be here or should it be there? And I drive myself crazy about it. Like, where should the time be on a web page? Above the content, below the content, next to the content? That's another story. Anyway, let's move along here. We have a few more things. Oh, yes. Facebook was updated, assuming you use Facebook. Now,
let's not assume that.
Might I point out that large percentages of the universe use Facebook? They do have many, many users.
And okay. But you said, let's assume that I use Facebook. Let's not assume.
Well, that's you plural.
You were talking to our listeners, not to me. Okay, yeah. I got you.
Well, no, you would be included with that, but this is you all.
All right, if you would have said, assume y'all use Facebook, I would have understood.
Okay, from now on, I will use y'all.
Y'all is the proper plural of you.
Not in my part of the country.
That doesn't make your part of the country right.
Yeah, that's like me, you know, walking down and saying that I'm going to mosey on down to the chuck wagon and get me some vittles.
You don't eat vittles.
I don't?
No, vittles are for dogs.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Unless you're going down, but you wouldn't get vittles at a chuck wagon because vittles are for dogs. I mean, you could. Well, anyway, carry on.
I was more referring to the fact that it is not a dialogue that I would normally use.
Okay.
For one, I don't mosey. Do people still mosey?
Yeah, weather's nice.
Okay. I do not mosey. It is not in my vernacular. Anyway, the new version of the Facebook app allows you to queue posts when offline. So if you are not connected to anything, you can write your post and it will automatically be sent once you connect. If you happen to, you know, for example, you could write, I am stuck in this place without any internet. And when you connect to, next connect to the internet, that will be posted. I don't know if they'll time shift it, though.
That would be kind of weird.
No, I'm saying if you...
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just find it...
No, I'm saying if you queue it...
Like they take the timestamp of when you created the post and they...
And they put that on instead of the timestamp of when it actually uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, a few other things. TuneIn Radio has relaunched with a model that allows people to follow shows. So they're trying the Twitter-esque model. You can follow shows, broadcasters, and genre. So it's a more social experience. Because as you know, Jerry, everything has to be like Twitter.
Right.
Because we know how much money they're making.
We do. They release, now that they're a public company, they release financial reports. Right. And which caused me, while looking at the notes, I went to look up how much money Twitter actually makes. You know how much they had in revenue for the fourth quarter of 2000 of last year?
How much?
$241 million.
With an M?
With an M.
Okay, and how much did they lose?
They reported a net loss of $511 million.
So my point is, why do people want to be like Twitter?
Well, apparently a lot of that loss was like stock options and stuff, so technical losses. If you took out all the one-time stuff and that other crazy stuff, they made a profit of $10 million. But here's the crazy part that just smacked me on the head. Of that $243 million,
yeah.
You know how much they made from mobile ad revenue?
How much?
$220 million.
So mobile is the future?
So if you're Twitter, all the other mobile Twitter apps that are stealing ad revenue from you are probably why they're being so nasty towards APIs.
Still. I'm not as active on Twitter as I once was. I've adopted the syndication model.
Yep.
I post on AndroidBuffet.com, and that syndicates automatically, which works, at least for me.
I approve of it. There's no way that you can keep up on every social platform out there.
Well, people seem to expect me to, but I have a plugin for WordPress called Social Network Autoposter, and one of the features that they put in a couple versions ago is if somebody comments on the post that they sent over to one of those other networks, it'll pull the, it doesn't do it for every post, just the last 10 that you put in, because otherwise it would be monitoring 199 episodes worth.
Sure.
200 episodes worth. Although I don't think in the early time I was syndicating to so many places. But it does the last 10, and let's say that you commented on the Facebook post, which is a post of the episode that's automatically coming from the post on the site, it would pull back your comment. So if you said, what a wonderful episode, it would pull it back. And before anybody gets any ideas, I moderate. I'm saying that because I've been getting a lot of spam lately.
Sure.
No, you know, it comes and goes in waves.
Yep.
So, you know, you don't, you know, nobody seems to want to try to sell fake leather wallets on your website for a while, and then they do.
Yep.
So, basically, if anybody comments on any of those services, I'll pull it back. Google Plus, I don't have that particular capability, but that's because Google Plus doesn't have a Write API. They certainly do have a Read API, but because I would have to post manually to Google Plus, there's no way to tell the system to pull back the information because it doesn't know where on Google Plus the actual post was. I've been getting very involved with WordPress lately, just because I find all this very interesting. Anyway, moving along, Yahoo News Digest, which is a new app, aggregates and curates news. So if you want to get your news from Yahoo...
And who doesn't?
Well, don't you remember the old days where they had those commercials where they went, Yahoo!
I did.
I can't hit that note. Unfortunately, I have not mastered the art of yodeling.
Just not dedicated enough.
Well, you know, I think with some practice, I might be able to get it. You know, yodelay, 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 hee-hoo. I think you have to go up a note, maybe. I'll practice it for a future episode. I'll master it by episode number 500.
You're doing excellent so far.
Okay, thank you. Google's own camera app has restored the ability to take a still image while recording video. I've never done that, though.
I haven't either.
But apparently you're taking a, I could think of the use case because you're taking a video of an event and you want to take a specific image and separate it out. So I could think of scenarios where I might want that now that I know it's there.
Is it like a screen cap, or is it an actual full-resolution picture?
That I don't know. I actually have to try it. I don't take that much video, to be honest. You know, I take pictures because I like photography, but I find video is much harder to work with because of jitter.
Yeah.
So I focus on composing one frame. I really have not done much with video on my phone. Amazon updated its Amazon app. They now have single sign-on.
Does that mean that if I'm signed into my Kindle, that I can also go into the Google or the Amazon App Store and I don't have to re-sign in? Is that what you're saying?
If you have both apps on your phone, yes.
Sweet. I approve.
Well, I approve and I don't approve. Basically, if you sign into one app, you're now signed into them all, but there's no option in the Amazon app itself, which is an app that allows you to buy things, to require a password for purchases or to set a PIN to lock out the ability to purchase things.
Ah.
So basically, let's use a Jerry example. You're sitting there with your phone and your young child comes in and wants to play, what's that popular game that everybody gets obsessed with?
Minecraft.
That you play on a cell phone? I know you can on a cell phone, but not many people do.
My daughter does.
Okay, so she borrows your cell phone to play Minecraft?
No, she doesn't borrow my cell phone for anything. But as a real example, a non-contrived example.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't have kids. How could I not contrive an example?
Well, here's a real example.
Okay.
My daughter and I were reading Charlotte's Web today.
Okay.
I have Charlotte's Web on the Kindle on my phone, which I was reading. Reading along with her, so I could help her correct my words and such. And she wanted to read from my phone instead of from the book, so we swapped. So she was watching reading from the book on my phone in an Amazon app.
Okay.
And she could have said that she wanted to continue reading, and I would have said okay. And then she would have had full access to the Amazon app and could have bought whatever she wanted. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's the Kindle app. I'm referring to she could have switched over to the Amazon shopping app and gone and bought, you know, a $5,000 toy.
Yes, or bought that skating bag that she wants.
Yes.
Which is about $300.
So what I'm saying is the same way that in-app purchases can be locked in many systems by a PIN, I'm saying that if Amazon is saying that you can log into anything, that they should allow you to say, I don't want to be able to buy anything without having to enter in some second factor. I'm saying okay, a PIN yeah. because I don't want to have to enter in my entire Amazon password. Some people might every time I want to buy something. But I'm fine with saying that a PIN has to be entered in. It's equally possible that in this scenario, the family member who may get access to my device may have the PIN, assuming I pick bad PINs. But at least, you know, that's one extra layer of security should I choose to have it. I think it should be an option. I believe in security, at least that type. Moving along, Bolt Bus. You've never heard of them, Jerry.
No, but I did look into them.
Well, I'm a big fan. I haven't done much with them, but I like the business model. I really am depressed that Greyhound, who happens to own Bolt Bus, thought they had to create an entirely separate division in order to cater to a certain group of people who otherwise would not take a bus.
Okay.
Well, the whole idea is Bolt Bus is competing with another company, Megabus, which came over from Europe. The idea is that the prices are reasonable, and the distances traveled by both Megabus and Bolt Bus are designed to be distances that people, let's say young professionals, people between the ages of, let's say, 20 and 35, would take a bus on. Because once you get above a certain distance or below a certain distance, you wouldn't necessarily take one. They offer, you know, a clean experience, and they offer Wi-Fi. And one of the one of the things that admittedly it's shared between everybody on the bus, so don't watch a movie if you're on it. But it's good to keep you occupied. So they were going after, if you look at the markets here in the Northeast, they do the Boston to Washington run. And that's also done by a lot of organizations and even planes have the shuttle, which is almost hourly service. And Amtrak runs up and down. It's actually the Northeast Corridor, which is Boston to Washington on Amtrak, is the only one that actually makes money. And you have Bolt Bus and Megabus where for as low as $1, you can go between New York and Boston, and New York and Washington, and several places in between.
Although it's worth noting that the normal price is $25.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know the distance between New York and Washington?
Roughly? I don't know, 4 miles?
4 miles? No, I'm saying time-wise, not mileage.
Oh, God. Time-wise, everything up there is like 9 hours apart. Because you got to go through 100 different toll roads and traffic sucks. And
well, you know, depending on optimistic, probably assuming no traffic between 4 and 5 hours. You could probably do it in less, depending on your speeding. But yeah. It's a bus. It makes stops. So essentially, tell me where you can go that far on that little money, even at $25. The only thing cheaper, the only team cheaper is the Chinatown buses, and you can't trust those people. And I realize that that might be considered, because it is referred to as the Chinatown bus, as potentially racially insensitive. The Chinatown buses that run between various Chinatowns in the Northeast are usually underregulated and have had several major accidents. I'm referring to their regulation, not to the fact that they're referred to as Chinatown buses. I don't want to offend anybody.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, down here, the buses are $13. The mega bus actually covers this area.
Yeah.
Well, and you go from Jacksonville to Orlando on $13. And they also...
How many hours is that? Isn't that 2 hours?
It's like three. Two and a half, three.
Yeah, and Megabus
is... For a bus, probably three.
Okay. And Megabus is also has a reputation for being clean and offering Wi-Fi. But I like the idea.
Yes, although they say Megabus will make a reasonable effort to make Wi-Fi services available free of charge to every passenger.
As in, if it isn't working, it's not our fault, is basically the idea.
Yeah.
But since none of these services allow you to buy a ticket on the bus, being able to buy the ticket with an app is essential. So good for them for doing it. Really? No, okay. You can't buy on the bus. You have to buy in advance. Although it is not my favorite name for a discount bus company. There's another one that goes between the New York and Washington area for $25. It's called the Vamoose Bus. I just like the name. Never been on it, but I do like the name. Google Maps, since we were talking earlier about the Maps API, has added lane guidance. So when you're navigating, they will tell you what lane you should be in.
Really?
Yeah. I want to try this. I haven't had a chance.
That's nice.
I'm trying to figure out where I would. Should I just turn it on when I'm going somewhere I already know how to go to, just to see what the lane guidance says?
Huh.
I don't go to enough places I don't know how to go to. I'm very predictable.
Oh, it's not for traffic. It's
For navigation.
You're going to turn right, so you need to get in the right lane type thing.
Yeah, but it could be for traffic. No, if they knew that one lane was shut down, it could be for traffic.
All right, interesting.
And they also added...
I got a question. How do you do this?
Do what?
Like, every single week, we do... you have a series of notes.
Yeah.
And every week, those notes tend to last exactly an hour.
Because if we don't have enough notes, I just sort of we just randomly talk about things. So we try to... I think after 100... What is it now? 200 episodes... I should have remembered. Yeah, this is the 200th episode. I should have remembered that. I think we sort of have a sense of how long things take. So if we don't have as much material, we just sort of stretch it out and we fill in the gaps. Or are you asking how I get material every week in general?
No, well, you just seem to pick the exact proper amount of material.
I try to. It's not always perfect. Some weeks, there's a lot of extra stuff. And, you know, let's say Google I.O. is probably a week where there's a bunch of stuff to talk about. And, you know, I try to, you know, to pick out what I can, and I try to make smart decisions.
Well, you're doing an excellent job. That's all I was trying to say.
I appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into the show. I read all week. So I follow all that's going on in Android news, and every time I see something interesting, I bookmark it. And then I go through, usually on either Saturday or Sunday night, and I take all the bookmarks and I assemble the notes. And that's what you see. Essentially, the fruits of what I've been reading all week. Now, because it's usually done on Saturday night or Sunday, if anything happens on Monday, I probably won't add it in, and it will go into the next week's episode. So, for example, let's see what I have here. There are 91 unread Android-related stories right in my feed here. So I don't yet know that the LG Volt is bringing Sprint's enhanced LTE to Boost and Virgin Mobile on the cheap. But since we don't talk about hardware, I wouldn't have mentioned that anyway. So that's how I do it. I read. And as I see something interesting, I make a note of it. It's all automated.
Ah.
To a point. The reading is not automated. I read in an app. There's a button in the app to save it. After I'm done, one day I go through and put everything together. I probably should figure out a way to just mark it and generate the show notes automatically. But then you have curation issues. So I guess that brings us to the end of our program because it's 11 o'clock. Let's go over some
things. Which is what I was saying.
Yeah.
We finished talking about the Google Maps, and then Bada bing, it's 11 o'clock.
I tried.
It just seems to happen regularly. That's all I was saying.
Yes. But let's go over a few housekeeping things. This has been episode number 199. That's our 200th episode. Hopefully we will be here for 200 more. Right, Jerry?
Woo!
Well, we have no plans. What are you doing for the next 4 years? You busy?
Probably doing this show. I mean,
unless we don't, you know, unless we have a reason not to. I don't think we've ever come up with a reason not to do the show. We enjoy it, so hopefully we'll be here. If you would like to test out that syndication thing I mentioned, you are welcome to comment on the Twitter post, or you're welcome to comment on the Facebook post. If you reply to any of those posts or comment on them, it should automatically get syndicated back into the system, and I should have the opportunity to moderate that. A few other things. We haven't had a voicemail in a while, so that's 2012Wenica. You don't have to leave us a voicemail. You could do what the Door-to-Door Geek did, which is he recorded a file and sent it to us for playback. Obviously, that will have better quality than if you do it the other way. So you're welcome to do it that way. You can leave us an email. That's podcast@androidbuffet. You can use the contact form on the website. You can, of course, leave a testimonial, which is somebody saying how much they like the show in general. Oh, we have had contacts on the... I didn't even notice. We've had contacts on the Android Buffet contact page at 12:17. Oh. We had two at 12. Excuse me. We had four at 12:17 on May 11th. We had two at 10:29 on the 10th. Then two at 10:28, and then five at 1:54 a.m. And they're all the same. They're all from Jimmy, who wants to know if I have a Facebook fan page and I want to get thousands more people to like me.
Ah.
Yes, because the more people like me, the more credibility I'll have, because that's what happens if you happen to be a organization. People will trust you if you have fake people liking you. Right, Jerry?
So they say.
Have you ever had fake people liking you?
I don't know.
I really only want real people liking me. So it's no wonder that I actually never got these messages, because they're all identical. Nice to know. Anyway, so we would like to have some legitimate comment. So if your comment doesn't involve spamming us with advertisement to give us fake friends, then you're welcome to contact us. If none of those means work, none of the social medias, remember we're Android Buffet on everything. Facebook.com/AndroidBuffet, Twitter.com/AndroidBuffet, Google.com/+AndroidBuffet. Where we'll get your message through Kevin McLaughlin, who is almost as good as an automated syndication plugin. Actually, he's better than an automated syndication plugin. I don't want to insult him. And we will hear from you if you want to say something. So we will be back next week, and likely the week after that, and the week after that. And that includes June 2nd, when I believe that the show will be recorded live from Miami Beach. Well, actually, not from Miami Beach, but close enough. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. I have to do some tests on the mobile equipment. So any final words, Jerry, before we conclude the program for this week?
See you next week.
And the week after that, and the week after that. And 4 more years, right? Isn't that what they say in political... Isn't that what they say in political campaigns?
I guess if you're running for president again.
Are you running for president?
Nope. Not this year.
Maybe next year? Well, there's no presidential election this year. Not till 2016. Can we put you down for the 2016 presidential election?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Don't say I didn't offer.
Okay.
You could be the next, what's that guy, the New Jersey governor? Chris Christie. I have to mention him because I figure Murph is listening somewhere. So shall we say goodnight, Jerry?
Good night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say goodnight, Jerry.
No.
No. You've done that joke before?
Yes.
I know all your humor, don't I?
Well, some of it.
Okay.
You're too innocent for much of my humor.
If you say so, I probably am. But I'm fine with that.